Well, hello and welcome to a special edition of the Pester Brat Show. I'm your host, Pester Brat. I appreciate you listening. This is a very special edition and a special show that I'm recording today. It's not going to be new information, really, but just trying to get down more to personal level and concern. And I apologize for the technical difficulties at the very beginning if I was not able to edit them out when I edit the show afterwards. Again, let me tell you just a little bit about myself. I'm nobody special. Okay, I'm just one of millions and millions of people, billions, I guess, of people that have been created by the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband, father, grandfather. And I like to think that I'm a friend and brother in Christ to many that I've met in the area that we grew up in, the Maryland, D.C. area. We were there for most of our lives, and then when I began pastoring, we were in Florida for 7 years. We had some friends there. We were in Idaho for almost 3.5 years. We have some friends there. And we've been here in Alabama almost 4 years. As a matter of fact, I just think it's interesting that time seems like it's really been flying here recently as we've been in Alabama longer than when we were in Idaho. But I do a lot of reading, and just concerned about things. And one of the main things that you hear me talking about, if you listen to my show regularly, or even if you watched our other show that we do, Biblically Correct, is I'm very concerned about the economy. Folks, everything I'm reading, I just think it's just a question of when now, not if, but just a question of when our economy will fall apart to some degree, to one degree or another. I'm no expert. I'm not an expert economist. I definitely don't think I have all the answers. I don't think anyone has all the answers. I think the Lord Himself only knows what's going to happen in the United States of America. And by the way, I consider myself a patriot. I love my country, but I am a constitutional, or a constitutionist, I guess you'd say. I believe, our country was founded as a constitutional republic, or more detailed, constitutional democratic republic. We're not just a pure democracy, and we're not just a democratic republic. We're a constitutional democratic republic. But I believe that we are to hold to the Word of God first and foremost. But the Word of God says the only time we're not to do what the government says is when they contradict the Word of God. It says that itself in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. Yet, the Word of God says we are to honor, we are to obey those that have, you know, the rule over us. We're to submit ourselves to the governing authority. Actually, the rule over ourselves, that's actually in an ecclesiastical or church sense. But we are to submit to the governing authorities. But we're a constitutional republic. So, we're not required to obey them if they are going against the Constitution. And I think based on that scripture in the Word of God, that means that we're actually should not obey them if they're going against the Constitution of the United States. Since we not only are we a constitutional republic, but all of our elected officials have sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of a particular state that we're in. So, I love my country, but, you know, as long as they line up with the Word of God. But when it comes to the economy, now I know there's all kinds of conspiracy theories out there. I don't think, again, it's something I think only the Lord knows whether they're true or not. And even though only the Lord knows they're true, I think some of them have, some of them make sense. Some of them I'm like, okay. You know, maybe, what, you know, whatever could be true. But the issue with the economy, folks, the issue with the economy, that's not a conspiracy theory. And, you know, if we don't have Fox News anymore, and the only reason why I watch Fox News is because, the other news stations just seem to have such a liberal bias. And I know Fox News, to many, seem to have a conservative bias, but that's what I used to listen to. But we don't have cable anymore, so we don't listen to Fox News, but I still have different internet news sources, and groups that I follow, and you know, and you read the articles here and there, and even when I was watching Fox News, folks, they would talk about the potential danger of the economy right there on Fox News. This is an exhortation to my family, my friends, and of course any others that want to listen. Some of you may just listen to this because you see it posted on Facebook. I hope to get around to inviting people, any of my family members and friends that are on Facebook, through Facebook or through email, I'll ask you to listen to this broadcast. I know it's hard when we're family members. It's hard to talk personal, one-on-one. It's you know, especially true when it comes to the gospel, and I think that's based on the principle in God's word, where Jesus says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Seems like the family members often don't want to hear biblical truths from other family members. I think this even is true when it comes to other things of a personal nature. So I thought this would be a good idea. I've been thinking about this for a few days. This is going to be kind of off the cuff. I've been thinking generally about doing the special recording. I might make it into CDs, and that way people can listen to it or not listen to it. But folks, you know, I'm not a prophet. I am fallible. I'm not infallible. Let me get that straight real quick. But I think, you know, the handwriting's practically on the wall about the state of our economy. Many people believe that the collapse of our economy is imminent. And I just think that many of my family members and friends, that you're oblivious to it. You don't really know what's going on. Maybe you're too busy. I think some people may be sticking their heads in the sand, so to speak, over this issue. And there may not be anything that we can do about it. And so I do want to talk about this, because there may be things we can do about it. It just depends on the way things go. And, you know, for those of us that are Christians and are trusting in Christ alone for our salvation, and we trust in our sovereign God for direction, we'll just have to follow His lead in our direction. You know, there's two things I see in Scripture in trying to seek a balance. There was the parable of the man who was trying to build up his barns. And of course, you know, their wealth was in their possessions, you know, their crops, their livestock, you know, etc. And so it talks about how he's going to build up his barns, and, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to build my barns, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to do that. And the Scripture says, "Thou fool, on this day your life shall be required of you." Now, on the other extreme, we have a situation where we think about Joseph, right? One of the 12 sons of Jacob. And won't go through the whole story there, but Joseph had a vision. And so he was brought before the Pharaoh and had a vision about, I think it was 7 years of plenty, and then having 7 years of famine. And then, so the Pharaoh asked Joseph what he should do, and he said he should prepare for that famine. And so in seeking a balance, excuse me a moment, please. In seeking a balance, my phone just vibrated and it kind of threw me off a little. In seeking a balance, I think that it is wise for us to plan for the future, and wise for us, especially if we know that something could be happening. Now, we may not have been given a dream like Joseph, but I think there's a lot of signs around us that tells us that the economy is probably going to have very hard times, or maybe just collapse from underneath us. And in our culture, where we have so many people living in suburbs, in the cities, I think we need to think through how that would affect us, and what, if anything, we can do about it. And see, well, what about the man in the barns? Well, I think the lesson there, who the man was trying to build up his barns, is that it was about his pride and how, what he was going to accomplish and what he was going to do, and so he could show how much that he had. You know, we need, as Christians especially, we need to remember what God said through James. He says, if you are willing, I will do this and I will do that. We should not boast on what we can accomplish. Lord, if you're willing. And so if he is willing, I think us as individuals should plan. I mean, think about the various things that can happen anyway, that of reasons that we should plan. Health issues happen to people. And I'll just use myself as an example. I've got numerous health issues now as it is, but thanks be to God, they're not any health issues that is keeping me from working and supporting my family. And I praise God for that. But it could happen. What if it did happen? I need to try to plan for that if at all possible in case something doesn't happen. What if I was laid off from my job? There could be numerous things that could happen to us that we should prepare somewhat anyway, and try not to be careful about just relying on living day to day or week to week or month to month and how we go and do our grocery shopping and then we can just run to the grocery store. You know, I thank God that my wife, for the last couple of days, I'm recording this on December 10th, I think it is, 2011, that she was able to go to the grocery store and get groceries. But should we rely on that? And what if something happens with the economy? One of the things that can happen with the economy would be that due to the state of the economic collapse and or because of panic and rioting and looting and violence, we may not be able to get to the store. There may not be any food in the stores. So what would we do in those particular situations? And so I encourage my family and my friends to prepare for that. Can you live off your land? Do you own your own home? Do you have your own property? And if so, is it enough property where you'll be able to live off of it? Some people don't own their own home and don't have their own property, so you got to think about that. And then next, you've got to think, well, even if you do have your own property, can you live off of it? We're blessed right now. We are buying a home. And so that's something that we've got to consider because we have a mortgage on our home. And what would happen during the economic collapse? We may not be able to stay here, depending on how things go down. I'm hoping that that depending on who has the mortgage, for example, our particular credit union that we bank with has the mortgage. I'm hoping that if it was a big economic collapse, that they would have compassion and common sense, say, what good would it do? You know, we're all bankrupt. What good would it do for us to seize the homes? But I can't rely on that. I don't know that that's true. I'm doing what I can. I'm planning certain things just in case. But I don't even know whether we'll be able to stay in this home or not. But we have an acre of land. How much can we live off an acre? How long? You know what I'm saying? So now we can try to plant gardens. But please keep in mind, it's interesting, some laws were recently passed where they're trying to control who can grow what. And the language is such where even though right now they don't intend on including people, you know, personal residents, that they could include personal residents. So that's concerning. Think about these things. You know, what kind of situation are you in? What kind of condition are you in? So if you don't have your own property, and you won't be able to do much, if any, hunting or any fishing, because you don't have your own waterway with fish in it, and if you can't grow a garden or much of a garden, what would you do? Now, having said that, I do hope that you're planning ahead, that if you are able, that you will plant a garden. We have something called a crisis garden. I forget the exact name of it. You can buy it. It comes in a canister, and it comes with all kinds of seeds, and it's the kind of seeds where, I forget the term for it, but it's the kind of seeds where they keep reproducing. I'm not an expert when it comes to farming. My wife could tell you, explain that better than I could. I'm not an expert at that, but you know, the kind of food that's self-replicating, it reproduces its own seed, all kinds of different vegetables, and it covers a whole acre. And you can even hide the canister in the ground. You contact me, I'm going to give you some contact information. You can reach me on my cell, maybe not always immediately, but please leave a name and a phone number where I'll call you back, 205-789-3079. Or you can contact me at my ministry address, alabamapastorbum@aol.com. That's alabamapastorbum@aol.com. So if you want information on this stuff, let me know and I'll send you the links, give you the information. I can tell you where we got these seeds and other things that I've come across on the internet that I can tell you about. But, you know, plant, be ready to plant, either plant a garden or be ready to plant a garden. Build up a food supply. And that way, if you build up that food supply, and so at least give you some time, depending on how much food supply, maybe a good considerable amount of time to think things through and plan on what you're going to have to do. Again, this is on the assumption maybe it won't go down this way. I don't want it to go down this way, folks. Okay, I'm talking to my family. Okay, I'm talking to my good friends that maybe aren't aware of this already. People that I've met personally down through the years. People that maybe we've never met face to face, but we've talked off and on quite often through the internet. I'm talking to my classmates. Many of us have reconnected through Facebook. You know, I'm talking to those people I've known since you were a baby, perhaps, or a toddler, or a young child, and now you're a young adult. Brothers and sisters in Christ, church friends, all of you, I'm encouraging you, please check into this. If you don't want to take my word for it, and I don't want you to just take my word for it, if you haven't been, I want you to research it yourself. We don't know when this could happen. It could be a grad talking about one of the scenarios is hyperinflation. I read one article not too long ago where they're looking at 100% inflation each year. And things will just go up astronomically and cost. If you haven't noticed already, things have gone up considerably already, but it hasn't been hyperinflation, but things have gone up considerably already in the grocery stores. But supposedly our government have been trying to keep various areas down artificially, like interest rates and stuff like that. Interest rates are supposed to already be real high. And so that cannot be done indefinitely. And so, yeah, it could be gradual, but we don't know that. We don't know for sure when it'll happen. We don't know absolutely for sure if it'll happen. And we do not know to what degree it'll happen. But I would rather be a fool for planning and nothing happen or nothing seriously happen than to be considered a fool for something happening and not doing anything to plan for my family. As some of my classmates know very well, we're 53 years old, but I'm more concerned about my children and my grandchildren's future. And whatever the Lord's will is, just to plan and whatever the Lord's will is. Now, we're getting ready for a commercial break here. We're going to pause. I think it's for 30 seconds for a commercial break. And then I'll be right back. And we'll talk more about this in just a moment. Thank you very much. Okay, we're back on the air. Now, this commercial break was only through one of the, I use Spreaker for the radio broadcast, but I'm also recording this on my video camera so I can put it on a CD as well. So there may not be a commercial break on the CD, and it may have been just a quick break. Anyway, so again, you know, we don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out in the Lord's will. The Bible says a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. I think we're to plan. folks, is for those of us who are Christians, you know, if it's time for the Lord Jesus to come back, it's all going to be for naught anyway. Yeah, so if I stock up on food and this and that and the other, and I don't end up using it because the Lord comes back, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, all this is going to be left behind anyway. Everything we have is going to be left behind. We can't take our material possessions with us in a hearse to heaven. So, you know, that part's going to not going to matter. Now, the other scenario that could play out is FEMA has emergency centers all around the country. Now, there are conspiracy theories out there on what the FEMA centers are ultimately for. I'm not talking about that. I don't know whether those things are true or not. There are some concerns out there, but that's not what I'm getting ready to talk about. We're talking about, based on what's happened before, what happened in Louisiana and the New Orleans area, excuse me, is whether they are a particular state, particular city, will make evacuation to FEMA centers mandatory. Should it be mandatory? And see, they made it mandatory. And that's not only unconstitutional, I mean, that's just common sense. You know, God created everybody with a brain. And, you know, most people, you know, those that are mentally challenged, accepted, of course, have enough common sense to know what they should and shouldn't do. And just because some people don't use that common sense doesn't mean that they should mandate everybody go into a FEMA center. Do you want to have to go into a FEMA center? I asked this question recently on Facebook, and a couple of my sisters in Christ responded. I'm kind of disappointed that more people won't respond to these issues. They're just ignoring it. So again, I don't know if they think I'm, you know, crazy, whacked out, whatever, whether they got their head in their sand. They just don't want to talk about it, but they, hopefully they're just not talking about it, but they're thinking about it, and some people are planning and preparing, just in case. So, I hope that you will think these things. Now, again, I only got about 7 more minutes before I will have to end. This is going to be, like I said, it's going to be a half-hour broadcast. So, anyway, the other thing that you can do, and I've mentioned this before, is stock up on food. If you don't do your own canning, and now there's, you know, I've read something the other day where they say you should use something else other than certain types of cans because the inner lining of the cans getting the food, and that's not all that great for us. But if you do your own canning, I can send you, again, I can give you information and send you to several different websites that sell dehydrated, or freeze-dried foods that you just add water. They put them in number 10 cans. You can get high-calorie, high-protein food bars, MREs for meals ready to eat. Again, I already talked to you about the seeds for a crisis garden, so 1-acre crisis garden. So these are things that you can do, and I hope that if you can't stock up on food on your own, that, you know, that you will consider. These have long shelf lives, by the way. I think they have a 10-year shelf life, and I'm hearing, and I haven't found it yet, but I've heard mention that you can find some foods with even a longer shelf life than that. But I think what we have is a 10-year shelf life foods. And again, this is information that I'm risking giving to some people, but, you know, this is mainly for my family and friends, but of course for any others. I hope that you will stock up on that. What if we can't stay in our home? So another thing that I think we need to do is, I think family units, not just the immediate family units, but the extended family unit, we need to get together and try to have a plan of action. For example, what I'm getting, as soon as I finish this broadcast, I'm getting ready to meet with my son-in-law's father, and we're going to talk about these things. I told you, our house is not paid for, so it could go down that we would not be able to stay in our house because if we can't meet our mortgage payments, then maybe they will foreclose and seize our home anyway. So I think, you know, try to find out if there's someone in their family, in your family, that has their home paid for, where you would set up a plan where if something went down that everybody would go to that home. But you need to plan that ahead of time. Make sure that they're willing to do that. You may think it's a given, but, you know, talk it all out. You know, and so, for example, my son-in-law's father, I believe, has a home that's paid for right here in Alabama. I believe my father-in-law's home is paid for, or close to being paid for, in Tennessee. I want to talk with him and see what he's willing to do. People are going to be willing to stay here as long as we're able to stay in our home, for my immediate family and, you know, extended family. But if necessary, I'm going to see if we'll be able to go to my son-in-law's father's home and my father-in-law, my wife's father's and mother's home. So, you know, check into that. Next thing you need to think about is, okay, well, if you have somebody, what if they live a certain amount of distance away? I think it would be good for you to store some gasoline, if possible. If you're allowed to store at least enough gasoline to get where you need to get. Because don't rely on the economic collapse that gas stations will just be able to stop at a Shell or Texaco or Chevron, Mobil, independent, whatever gas station, and get the gas that you need. And so I recommend that you store up on gasoline. There is some stuff, it's called Pry-G. I think it's the stuff that we use. It is something that you can add to preserve the gasoline. And so I encourage you to do that as well, so you at least have enough gasoline to get where you need to get. And of course, and I was talking to one of my coworkers about this. He's also another Christian. And he had a good point saying, even if someone's home is not paid for, maybe, you know, we need to get together and see who is in the best financial shape there, where maybe someone's almost got a house paid for, and maybe the family needs to get together and have the house home paid for so everybody has a place to go. Maybe we need to stock up on inflatable beds and cots or whatever, you know, if it's gonna, people are going to have a hard time being able to sleep on the floor. Stock up on water, as much water as you can, and there's also some things you can add to the water to preserve that for a long period of time. Different stuff than the gasoline, of course, but these are preservatives to add life, longevity, to the water or to the gasoline. Again, if you can, pay off as many debts as you can. If you can pay off your home, great. And here's something else I don't think people think about, and this is a pet peeve with me. But it's we as citizens, and I don't remember my history and how and when it started and where citizens were at, but property taxes, I question whether property taxes are constitutional, as far as how it's implied, excuse me, and how it's used. But you can have your house paid for, and if the economy collapses and you have no money or no way to pay your property taxes, well, hopefully they'll have compassion and common sense, not to kick people out of the home, but right now we don't know that. And so we either should work on trying to put a bug in the ear of our local government officials about that, maybe changing that or being ready to, you know, drop that, or if you can, pay ahead on your property taxes so you truly can live in your home free and clear, because as long as the property taxes, even if your mortgages are paid off, you're still not in there free and clear. And again, if there's no way to pay property taxes, we could be in trouble. Well, I'm running out of time. I love each and every one of you, especially if you're family and friends. Please prayerfully consider this and what the Lord would have us to do in His will. Thank you, and God bless you.